Good morning. Hi, Maya. It's good to see you. It's so good to be here with you this morning, whether in the sanctuary and also with our friends who are joining us on Zoom. I'm not sure if they can actually hear what I'm saying. We've had a little technical difficulties this morning, but if you can hear us, thanks for hanging in while we try to take care of that. A few announcements before we begin worship. The first is to say a big thank you to Linda Cohn, Dave Morissette, Tina Grom, and Jill Lewis for a beautiful poinsettia arrangement this morning, which, if I get out of the way, you can see a little better, which it makes the sanctuary feel like we are getting closer and closer to Christmas, right? Yeah. Thank you also to the McPherson Seidel family and to Eli and Josh Young for this morning's hymns. As in previous weeks when we have gathered in person, we are going to be listening to the hymns or humming along if you'd like, but we won't be singing the hymns just to keep things a little more COVID safe. So thank you to our musicians this morning. If you brought some gifts for the City Mission for their Christmas shop, you can drop those in the narthex. As you go out to your right, there's a table where you'll see some things piled up. Please leave those there and they will be delivered to the appropriate place this afternoon so that families working with City Mission will have some beautiful presents to shop from for Christmas. So thank you to all those who contributed with that. There will not be a virtual coffee hour this morning due to our host being busy. And of course, there will not be an actual live coffee hour either. Although we do invite you to process out at the end of the service to sing our final hymn outside, so we do get a chance to sing something together. This morning we will have our all ages together as usual, and then any children who would like to go downstairs to the parish hall for a story and an activity may do so. Ella Ford is going to be leading us to that. So if you'd like to head downstairs after all ages together, that would be great. Or you're welcome to stay in worship. After worship, we will also be gathering outside. If you are young or young at heart, we're going to be making some ornaments in the playground area, some to take home and some to share with some Park Avenue friends. So we invite you to stay for that as well. This week, on Wednesday at 7 p.m., we will have our annual service of lament and hope, sort of a blue Christmas service, if you're familiar with that term. It's a time for those of us feeling the weight of this season, whether that's stress or grief, anxiety or depression, to just come and be with those feelings. There's not often room made for those feelings at this time of year, so you are welcome to join us at 7 p.m. on Zoom, and we will pray and listen to scripture and sing together and acknowledge those feelings and also find some peace and some hope together. So that's this Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Zoom. There'll be an email with the link that will be sent out on Wednesday morning. Looking ahead, a couple of exciting events on Christmas Eve, or let me back up. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of Advent. We will also be gathering in person in the sanctuary for worship and live streaming. And then on Christmas Eve at 4 p.m., our family-friendly service, we're going to try something a little new this year. We're going to do an outdoor walking pageant that will start outside here near the corner and kind of work our way around to the side of the church and have different stations to stop at along the way. So it'll be a fun and COVID-friendly way to celebrate and tell the story of Christmas and of Jesus' birth. So we invite you to join us for that, again, whether you're young or young at heart, and we'll have some hot chocolate to share afterwards. Our 10 p.m. Christmas Eve service this year will be on Zoom for health reasons and for some technical reasons, and it will be as usual at 10 p.m. and we will end with our candlelight singing of Silent Night, so you won't miss out on that, even though we won't be in person for that portion of it. I think that concludes our announcement today. It's a lot of good and busy things happening at this season, which is such a wonderful change from last year, isn't it? So let us, before we begin worship, let us say our why statement together, which you can find at the top of your printed bulletin and also at the top of your digital bulletin. We come to Park Avenue to practice deep and fulfilling connection with God and each other, so that we can live as true neighbors, belonging to and caring for others as our own. I'd like to invite forward Bonnie Hayner and Debbie Lewis to light our Advent wreath.
Last Sunday, we lit the candle of hope, remembering the hope which comes in Christ, and we lit the candle of peace, claiming God's vision for a peaceful world.
Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy.
As we wait for the coming of the joy of ages, our joy grows day by day. Like springs bubbling up in a desert, our joy at the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, bubbles up in our hearts. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of invocation as printed in your worship bulletin. Let us pray. Like a wedding party celebrating the marriage of dear friends, or a band of thirsty travelers stumbling upon water in the wilderness, our joy in you, dear God, comes over us, and we want to sing out. Remind us today and every day how very good it is to be in your presence, and how very good it is to have you present us within Jesus, the one whom we wait with such joy. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I'd love to invite whoever would like to join me up here and feels comfortable doing so. We'll find a way to do it in a distanced way. We have a story to read and some fun at the creche. So come on up. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, good. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. It's so wonderful to see you all. Oh my goodness, I have a really cool book here. Oops, I just banged it. Okay, I'm getting used to this. Before we read our story, I just wanted to ask a question of all of you. Does it ever feel hard to find joy in life? Does it ever feel like it's just hard to see something good? Like if you're maybe tired or uncomfortable, or you're not feeling good, or you've got too much homework, or you don't like what you're having for dinner, or maybe somebody you know and love is not feeling well. Sometimes it's hard to, or if you're waiting for something. So Leo, later on in the service today, is going to be talking about finding joy in times that feel hard. We've been through kind of a hard time this last year, right? It's been a hard time, and yet we've been able to find joy in lots of things, big and small, right? This story talks about some animals in the manger before Jesus and Mary and Joseph get there. And it talks about their kindness to one another. And sometimes kindness is something that can bring us joy. So let's read this together. It's called Room for a Little One. I love the pictures because they sparkle. See if you can see the sparkles. Okay. So I wanted to just quickly greet any of you who might be watching online as well, and I'll be sure to show you the pictures. It was a cold winter's night. Kind Ox lay in his stable close to the side of the inn. You see him in there? Old Dog came by. He stopped and looked into the stable. "I need somewhere to rest," said Old Dog. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Old Dog came in and lay down in the straw. He nestled close to Kind Ox, sharing the warmth of his stable. He looks tired. St- stray cat peered in. She saw old dog and she stopped. Stray cat arched her back and her fur bristled. "I won't chase you," said old dog. "Come inside," kind ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Here's the cat. Do you see his back? Stray cat came into the stable. She curled up in the straw close to the friends she had found, purring and twitching her tail. Small mouse stopped at the store of the door of the stable. She saw a stray cat and quivered with fear. "You're safe here. I won't harm you," said Stray Cat. "Come inside," kind ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Small mouse scurried in. She nestled down warm in the straw in the peace of the stable. Do you see the mouse?
Yes.
There he is. I'm going to point him out to. Do you see him? Yeah. He's right here. You have to look really carefully. Then, tired donkey came. Joseph led him along. Mary rode on tired donkey's back. Joseph was cold and Mary was weary, and there was no room at the inn. Do you think that's the inn back there?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the stable. "Where will my baby be born?" Mary asked. "Come inside," kind ox called to tired donkey. "There's always room for a little one here." Tired donkey brought Mary into the stable. Joseph made her a warm bed in the straw to save her from the cold of the night. And so, Jesus was born with the animals around him, kind ox, old dog, stray cat, small mouse, and tired donkey, all welcomed Jesus to the warmth of their stable. See the mouse? It's always hard to find the mouse, but there he is.
The cat looks kind of
hungry. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're right. That cold winter's night, beneath the star's light, a little one came for the world. Right there. Thank you all for being here to read this nice story. And now that we've talked about some of these animals that were in the stable, let's see if we can find some to put up in our manger scene. I think we might have just enough for everybody to put one in, okay? So stand up. Let me see what we've got back here. They're all, there's going to be room for all of them, right? Would you like to? And there's going to be even room for more. Yeah, everybody can pick one. And then hold it nice and carefully. Come on and hold it. Linnea, you can pick one too. Ella, you can pick one. All righty. Okay, and now, where shall we put them? We're waiting. We're still waiting for Mary and Joseph. And there's already some animals around, right? You could even put them out front here if they don't quite fit in. Perfect. Thank you all so much. Do they look like they're waiting? I hope you are all able to find lots of moments of joy in this time of waiting.
Where's Jesus?
He's not in there yet. You have to wait a couple more weeks for that. Thanks, Holden. All right, have a nice time if you go downstairs. Thank you for being here. Lovely to see you.
Isn't it wonderful to have our children with us?
And be able to do all ages together in person
as well as online. Now is the time in our service when we share with one another and lift up to God the things that have brought us joy and celebration in this week and in this season, as well as the places where we are feeling sorrow or grief or stress. If you have a prayer request, please raise your hand and Scott Jones, our Deacon of the Month, will come around for you to speak into the microphone. Please hold the mic pretty darn close to your face so that folks who are joining us online will be able to hear prayer requests as well. What prayer requests do we bring this morning?
Safe travels for Pam and Stu heading to Georgia to visit their daughter.
Thanks, Hong.
I ask prayers for my dear friend Mary, who is suffering from a variety of health challenges.
Thank you, Leanne.
Prayers for the people of Mayfield, Kentucky, after a devastating tornado ripped their town apart. Mike and I spent years in Kentucky, and we feel it's just too sad to deal with it. Just the whole city was totally wiped out.
Yeah, it's been heartbreaking. Thank you, Beth. I don't know if Cindy, our Zoom usher, if we have any Zoom prayer requests. Scott, would you mind walking the mic back? Sorry. Scott's getting his steps this morning, our Deacon of the Month.
I don't have any prayer requests from Zoom, but I have one on behalf of Zoom and Dave and Nick, and thank God for them, because we're up and running.
Oh, that's wonderful. Good. We're so glad that you all can hear us. A little dicey in the beginning, so thank you so much for your patience and for the hard work of all those folks who have made that possible. I have just one news to share with you before we pray, and that is that longtime Park Avenue friend Albert Randall passed away in October. We just learned about it now, but we will be praying for his family as they head into the holiday season with that grief. Let's go together to God in prayer. Gracious and Holy One, who brings us light and joy, just as the days begin to become their shortest and the nights their longest. We thank you for this opportunity to be together to worship. We're so grateful for the ability to be safely in worship here in person and to also connect virtually. We give you grateful thanks for the efforts of Dave Morissette and Nick Dokos, and for Cindy Manson and all those who are working hard to make sure that we can be all together, that we can be one even as we are in different locations. We pray, God, for an end to and a lessening of this pandemic so that we might be able to sometime in the not too distant future gather all together safely again. We pray for those, God, who are sick with COVID right now, those who are suffering from its long-term effects, particularly, God, for those who have lost a loved one to COVID. We pray for the family of Edith and Bob Burge's good friend, Ned, who passed away this week from COVID, and for all those who are feeling that sting of loss that just seems like it will not go away. We pray, God, for all those who continue to care for those who have COVID, for medical teams and first responders who are both more at risk because of their work and who are the front lines of keeping us as well and safe as can be. We thank you, God, also for the scientists and researchers who are doing their level best to get us more information about Omicron and to help us know how to be safe with this new variant. We pray that it would not be severe, God, and that we would find ways to share vaccines and treatments that are now not shared equitably across your world, that those might find a way to people who are most in need. Because we know that it is only as well as we are fighting this pandemic in the places that are most vulnerable that it will eventually become manageable. We pray, God, also for our students and teachers, our educators and administrators who keep doing such heroic and hard work in this uncertain season, and for all of our small business owners and community leaders, for our church leaders who are all continuing to discern how to be safe but also keep communities alive, and for the physical health and the spiritual health of this congregation and of all your gathered congregations. We pray, God, for those who are feeling the stress and strain of this season, particularly as with case numbers on the rise, that folks who are making decisions to stay home and who are maybe feeling more isolated. We pray for those who are dealing with seasonal affective disorder at this time of year and maybe don't have some of their normal outlets because of COVID to deal with that. We pray, God, for all of the tender places and hard places in our world right now because of this pandemic and otherwise. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick, dear God, those who are recovering from injury or illness, or who are preparing for treatment or awaiting a diagnosis. We pray particularly for Leanne's dear friend, Mary, who is facing a variety of health challenges. You know, God, what she is going through, and so we ask for your healing touch to be present in her life and for her to feel the support and love of her community and her loved ones as she goes through this. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray with gratitude that Maureen Schober's health is improving as she recovers from cancer surgery. We pray that that improvement would continue and that you would be with her and her family as they deal with this in the holiday season, that there might be moments of joy and laughter and tradition despite the difficulties of ill health. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray, God, for our family friend Jenny's mom, who has been hospitalized with an MS flare-up and who is beginning to recover. We give you thanks for that, and we pray for her as she's awaiting a necessary procedure before she transfers to rehab. that that process might go smoothly and that you would continue to support her and her husband and their family in this difficult time. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are struggling with depression, grief, addiction, any kind of burden or difficulty in this time, particularly mental health ones. You know, God, what it is that we carry in our hearts and the moments when it becomes too much for us. And so we ask that you would help all of us in that position to find what it is that we need, to reach out to a friend, to connect with mental health resources, to do what it is that we need to do, and to have you meet us where we are. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for those who are traveling or in the midst of other transition, particularly for Pam and Stu as they are heading to Georgia to visit their daughter, that that trip might be safe and uneventful, and that they might return safely as well and not need to worry about COVID. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the family of Albert Randall, who passed away in October, who for many years would be an occasional beloved face here at Park Avenue and who was well known and liked by his neighbors as well. We pray for all those who are mourning his death and for those who are feeling the loss of this man. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray also for Margaret Berman's nephew, David, who had to put down his cat this week. For all of us who have had to say goodbye to a beloved pet, particularly at a hard time of year to do so, that you might be with him in his grief and that you might be with us in each of our tender places. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for our wider community and country and world, particularly those places that are suffering from violence, from conflict, from natural disaster or other deprivation or oppression. We pray particularly for the communities in the Midwest and South who were hit by tornadoes this past weekend. We pray particularly for the families of those who lost loved ones in the Amazon warehouse collapse outside of St. Louis, and particularly for the town of Mayfield, Kentucky, which has just been devastated, and for all the people dealing with loss there. God, help us to find ways to respond to that heartbreak, that help us to exercise our hearts and not to shut them off from hard news, whether it's prayer, whether it's donation or resources or even time. We pray that you would help us in this season to hold the joy of Christmas coming and visiting loved ones and tradition, and also to hold the pain that is there always, because we are indeed human, living these human lives. Help us to hold that all just as you hold it all with us and for us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, God, we pray silently for all those things which we have not said aloud, knowing that you hear us whether we speak or type or stay silent. And now, Mother and God, who nurtures us from our very first days all the way to our very last, we pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now is the time in our service when we pivot from one spiritual practice of prayer to another of gratitude and generosity. If you would like to support the ministries of Park Avenue financially, you can do so by writing a check to PACC, and you can place it in the offering plate at the back of the sanctuary on your way out after worship. Or you can give digitally by going to our website, www.pacc-ucc.org/give, and you can give there by bank transfer or by credit card. And as we have been doing the last several weeks, I invite you to spend the time of the offertory enjoying the music, I hope, but also thinking about things that you are grateful for in this season particularly.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. May these gifts, O God, give us joy in the giving, and give you and your world joy in the receiving. Amen.
Thank you.
Selections from Isaiah 35. The tongues of the speechless sing for joy, for water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. It shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Our gospel passage this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 28 through 29. This is John the Baptist speaking. You yourselves are my witnesses that I have said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you haven't figured it out by now from our hymns and from our candle, this is the Sunday of joy, the third Sunday in Advent. My daughter Davy's second grade teacher recently invited parents to come in and share a family holiday tradition. So I brought an Advent wreath to talk about how we light the candles each Sunday and the themes and the different colors that go with the themes. And when I asked the kids why they thought the candle for joy was pink instead of purple like the other three, well, they said that, you know, joy is kind of a special feeling. It's kind of a bubbly, happy feeling. And so it reminds us of things like waking up and discovering that it has snowed in the night. Or I think one kid said a puppy licking your face. Right? I mean, maybe not joyful for some of us who don't like to be licked by dogs, but that feeling of effervescence, right? And so having a different and brighter color represents that well. But interestingly, we hear about very different kinds of joy from that bubbly, happy feeling in this morning's scriptures. In the gospel passage, John the Baptist, that wild-eyed, wild-haired prophet who jumped with joy in his mother's womb at the recognition of his cousin Jesus growing in Mary's womb, now he's all grown up and he is at the height of his prophetic career, baptizing hundreds of people in the Jordan River, when he meets Jesus again as an adult also. He recognizes in his cousin the one for whom he has been paving the way, the one for whom he told the Pharisees that he was making paths straight. It's an interesting moment. John may or may not suspect that before long he will be headed to jail and death at the hands of Herod, who sees in him a threat to Herod's power to do whatever he pleases. But whether or not John knows what's coming, he certainly knows that his work is coming to an end. Because the one whose message he has been preparing the people to receive has arrived. His purpose is complete, and his power and notoriety can only go down from here. He must increase, John says of Jesus, just one verse after we read this morning. He must increase, speaking of Jesus, but I must decrease. And yet here's what John says when his disciples come to tell him that there's this charismatic new rabbi on the scene who is gathering a following to rival John's. He says, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom. He's the one we're throwing this party for, after all. And the friend of the bridegroom, the best man, if you will, how could he not rejoice at the sound of the groom's voice, at the knowledge that his best friend is about to embark on the greatest journey of his life, a calling that he was made for and that will greatly increase the love in the world? That's why I'm filled with joy, even though my own fortunes have already peaked. I know what's in store, and I can't wait to see what happens." Where many of us might feel disappointment or grief or even envy in a similar situation, John instead chooses joy. And did you notice that in today's Hebrew scripture, joy comes not at a celebration or in a time of peace and plenty, but it comes in the desert? There is burning sand and thirsty ground and the suggestion of dangerous highways beset by robbers, and yet that is where joy is found. That is where water streams forth and flowers blossom, precisely in the most barren and abandoned places. When I was a new parent, not getting much sleep and worrying about making sure that my daughter Davy had enough milk and sending her off to daycare and all of the hormones and stress that comes with that, I worked with a pastor who used to greet people who knocked on her office door like this. "Enter, rejoice, and come in. Lift up your heart to the Lord." And do you know, every time I would knock on her door and she would sing that, no matter how tired or how grumpy I was, no matter how impossible a solution to a particular problem that we were facing felt, her greeting was a reminder that I could find joy, that I could choose to lift my heart to the Lord, even just for a moment, maybe. Children like the one in my daughter's second grade class don't yet know, and we as adults often forget, that joy does not have to be a fleeting, spontaneous emotion dependent on chance or on circumstance. Something that happens to us, like a surprise snowfall or the magic of presents on Christmas morning. Indeed, when we treat joy as if it is something entirely beyond our control, we lessen its power considerably. We narrowly confine it to moments when all is right with the world. Yet joy is at its most powerful when things are not all sunshine and rainbows, when we do, in fact, find ourselves in the wilderness and in desperate need of lifting our hearts. Joy can be something we choose, an attitude or orientation that trains our eyes on the good in the world, the God in the world, no matter how bleak our surroundings or desperate our situation. Sometimes choosing joy is the only power we have. In her absolutely stunning memoir, The Choice, groundbreaking psychologist Dr. Edith Egger tells the story of being deported with her family at age 16 to a Nazi concentration camp. Shortly after watching her mother be selected for the gas chambers by Joseph Mengele, also known as the Angel of Death, Edith and her sister Magda find themselves stripped, shorn, and dressed in sacks. Later that day, she is standing before Mengele, the notorious doctor who loved performing medical experiments on concentration camp prisoners as much as he loved enjoying the arts. And learning that Edith had trained as a dancer, Mengele requests that she dance to the music played by an orchestra made up of fellow prisoners. This is what Edith writes to describe that experience. "The familiar opening strain of the Blue Danube waltz filters into the dark, close room. Mengele's eyes bulge at me. I'm lucky. I know a routine to the Blue Danube that I can dance in my sleep. but my limbs are heavy as in a nightmare when there's danger and you can't run away. Dance, he commands again, and I feel my body start to move. First the high kick, then the pirouette and turn, the splits and up. As I step and bend and twirl, I can hear Mengele talking to his assistant. He never takes his eyes off me, but he attends to his duties as he watches. I can hear his voice over the music discussing with the other officer which ones of the 100 girls present will be killed next. If I miss a step, if I do something to displease him, it could be me. I dance. I dance. I am dancing in hell. I can't bear to see the executioner as he decides our fates, so I close my eyes. I focus on my routine, on my years of training, each line and curve of my body like a syllable in a verse, my body telling a story. I can hear the violins swell, my heart races, and in the private darkness within, I hear my mother's words come back to me, as though she is there in the barren room, whispering below the music. Just remember, no one can take away from you what you've put in your own mind, she says. Dr. Mengele, my fellow starved to the bone inmates, the defiant who will survive and the soon to be dead, even my beloved sister disappear, and the only world that exists is the one inside my head. The Blue Danube fades, and now I can hear Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet. The barracks floor becomes a stage at the Budapest Opera House. I dance for my fans in the audience. I dance with the glow of hot lights. I dance for my lover, Romeo, as he lifts me high above the stage. I dance for love. I dance for life. In those impossible moments, Edith has made a choice that will make all the difference, to choose the joy of dance, of moving her body freely despite how very unfree she is, to decide that no one, not even the angel of death, can take from her the beauty that lives inside her. That, I think, is also the message of Christmas. That God's joy is available to us no matter what our circumstances. That there is nothing God wouldn't do to help us find that deep joy, including taking on the human experience as a tiny, vulnerable baby. All we have to do, it's a tall command, but all we have to do is choose to lift up our hearts. May it be so. Amen. I'll say the benediction in just a minute, and then we will have our postlude. And after the postlude, if you are gathered here in the sanctuary, we invite you to file right on out to the sanctuary steps and the sidewalk, where we will sing our final hymn, three verses of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. So as you go out into this world that has lots of joy at this time of year, yes, but also has such heartbreak, remember that wherever you find yourself, God is with you. God is coming to you. God is coming into this broken and hurting world, and so there is cause for joy amidst it all. Go in that joy.